The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, everybody. 9 o'clock hour. Welcome on in. It's our last hour together today on the first day of April. April Fool. And so we have a lot of fool-related bumper music today, and I'm your happy fool, your town crier, Mark Davis, here, your talk show buddy, here on the first day of April. It is great to have you here, and so let's hop right to some calls from people who have glommed onto the thing that I set up as the last hour was closing, and then we have a couple of minutes from the president's press briefing yesterday. It starts off with a question by the always annoying Jim Acosta of CNN, but it gives the president an opportunity to riff, as he will do, on the notion of hard data versus optimism and why they're not mutually exclusive. What else have we got? We got an ABC overview on where we are for the moment, and then a great Marie Saavedra piece last night on Channel 8. But because I find myself thinking about communities, there's a community where I live, community where you live, you know, here where the station is, and, you know, driving around, because I do get to drive around. I guess I'm essential or something. And I think, and she had a piece about Plano, just a piece about Plano and one particular business owner up there in Howard. Because I think in examining these stories, these little mini portraits of how we're all doing, that can, we can stitch those together and find inspiration and find outreach and lift each other up in prayer, et cetera, just all those good things that will help us power through this. Okay. 866-660-5759. We are in Salina. Oh, the thing I set up is, what in the world do we do about school? What in the world do we do about school? If this school year is indeed done, there absolutely are kids who don't have the online education option. But I'll tell you, maybe fewer than I thought, because it's funny, as Mike and I were talking this morning, he said his son is a teacher in Texas in a pretty economically challenged school district. And he said, you'd be surprised how many kids, have online access in their homes. And it's funny. It's amazing what happens when, you know, mom and or dad stop spending money on, cigarettes and smokes. And it is interesting, because I guess if you can send a text to somebody, if you can fire up YouTube, you can probably fire up a class being conducted across town. So anyway, though, for those kids that are just unable to do online school, where for them it's a school year frozen in time in the first and second week of March. If those kids were passing at that time, we're just going to pass them. You're in eighth grade, you go to ninth. You're in fifth grade, you go to sixth. You're a senior, you get to graduate. But what about those kids that were teetering on the brink of failure? Well, we had fallen into the abyss of failure in the first or second week of March. No chance. No chance to redeem. And I took a call from a guy, and often I'm the person delivering this lecture, that our hearts can be where they are, but sometimes it's just bottom line, merit-based truth. And I'm all about that. And the gentleman's point was, tough. But you know what? Here's the asterisk that I attach. If you fail a year, you fail a year. These kids didn't fail a year. They failed 80% of a year. And that just doesn't seem right, to fail the whole year because you failed 80% of the year. Because it's not like you did not do what was necessary in March and April and May to redeem yourself. It's that the chance to do so did not exist. The denominator of that fraction was zero, which we all know is impossible, right? Or you should. So we're in Salina. Craig, hey, Mark Davis, happy Wednesday. How are you?
Oh, thanks a lot, Mark. Hey, listen, real quick, I'm gonna make this short and sweet to the point. Your last caller, okay, I don't know what's going on with that guy, but he's wrong. They're going to pass these kids. Every kid is going to go into the next grade. The seniors will graduate, and we'll move on because the teachers don't get paid enough, and that's the bottom line. Hmm. The teachers don't get paid enough to deal with it. Okay, and I just want to say that and let that be.
Well, let's examine it because if I can hear somebody saying, what does teacher pay have to do with this? But I think I know. It's because if indeed we're going to have to find some way to make these kids, you know, break a sweat and chop a few rocks to achieve the end of the school year that's vanished right now, that doesn't just happen by magic. That involves the continued toil of countless teachers. An overextending an already exhausted population there.
Yes.
All right. What else?
Yes. All right. I've got a second grader, a seventh grader, and a junior in high school. And I don't know what the difference is between the schools or the communication, but the communication from the high school to the junior high to the elementary school, it's on three different levels. I've never seen anything like it.
How do you mean?
And I understand this
first
time we've gone through it. The teachers in high school have no communication with the parents.
Wow.
They're doing all communication is with the students.
Right.
I can't really speak about the junior high because he goes to junior high up in Oklahoma.
Right.
And I don't even know if Oklahoma's even doing the school. Their school starting March 6th. Their summer starting March 6th.
Mm, right.
And then the elementary school, they have been on point. We are doing things. Hmm. We've got a whole agenda set up. We've got apps. We got Seesaw, Freckle. We've got all these different apps.
I love these names.
On the iPad. Yeah, I know, right?
No, I've got a thought. I've got a thought. Your point was that while the elementary school is on it and they got Freckle and Schmingala and Unicorns and Rainbows and whatever those apps may be, but the high schools are kind of going straight to the students and maybe not be engaging the parents as much. This might be rose-colored glasses from me, but maybe that's to teach your 15, 16, 17-year-old to get his or her act together and not go to mommy and daddy to do everything.
Yes. And a 17-year-old, I'm sorry, but you can't expect a 17-year-old. His summer basically started on March 6th.
Well, we are learning how mature our kids were, or the opposite. Oh, man, Craig, God bless. Thank you. And then good to hear from you in Salina, Bobcat Country, there in Salina, Texas. Okay, first of all, if you have a teen, junior, somebody like 16, 17, right? And who's sweet as can be, but kind of a mush brain, just to describe a million kids in one sentence. You don't throw them out there cold turkey. Like, yeah, it's on you now, Billy. Go for it. Now, but I'll tell you what, this is a wonderful opportunity. If we're doing the online school thing, it is a wonderful opportunity to make that, because what are we talking about? All this pause, all this shutdown, all of this quarantine. How can we make ourselves better? Here's a way you can make your kid better. Have a big old maturity upgrade. Sit them down and say, look, I'm here with you to be your backstop. I'm here with you to be your safety net. You come to me, I will help you with anything. But by and large, as all these teachers of yours come at you with assignments, guess whose job it is to do it? Yours. Guess whose job it is to make sure you know what's due tomorrow, end of the week, next week? Yours. Guess whose job it is to get stuff in on time? Yours. You ain't in third grade anymore. And so be there. I think that you may have a more mature, grown up, ready for the real world kid after all this nonsense is over than you otherwise would have had. Huh? The search for silver linings continues. We're in Flower Mound. Robert, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. Happy Wednesday.
Hey, Mark. First off, I'd like to say thanks for Fog Hat Fooling the City.
My pleasure. All the fool records here on April Fool Day.
Yeah, and I'm definitely not a trophy for all kind of guy. Four kids in sports. And but at some point in life, sometimes people need a pass.
Yep.
And the kid, and I feel for you and the poor guy that thought the other way, but I think you're right on the money on that one, Mark.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks. Best to your kiddos. Appreciate it. I mean, because listen, if I ever go soft, if I ever, and by the way, I don't mean, you know, giving in to feelings or giving in, because sometimes you do things because they are kind, because they are because your heart guides you, and properly so. The only time really not to do that is if it leads you to doing something stupid, like agreeing to identify that there are 412 genders because you just don't want to upset anybody. Okay. But this thing about what to do at the end of the school year. And that's a good point. Is what some people are reminding me. For a lot of people, a lot of kids, a lot of the school year, the online schooling, e-schooling, all these nifty apps, that's not even an issue because they just flat out shut down school. They're not doing it at all. And what do we do with those kids? And I floated the notion that, hey, talk about the most special of circumstances. Guess what? You just passed the fifth grade. You just did. You just did. Because you know what? Well, pardon me, with apologies to Gene Kranz and Ed Harris at Apollo 13. Failure is not an option. Now, when that line came out of the movie, it was about we cannot fail. Apollo 13's breaking my heart. It's ADD Wednesday on the Mark Davis Show. I'll get to that in a second because 50th anniversary is coming up and it's going to get evaporated by this stupid virus. All right. Anyway, when I talk about failure is not an option for the schools, it simply may not be a place that we're able to go. And what a great point a guy made a couple of calls back, that we can sit here all day and say, well, doggone it, these kids are just going to have to do, they have to sweat and toil and do what's necessary to fill in these 2 months of work. And if they were failing, they're going to take those 2 months. I don't care if it's over summer. We have a longer. Oh, really? What are you going to tell the teachers, the already overworked, overtaxed teachers? What are you going to tell them? Okay, Apollo 13. You new to the show? Hi, Space Dork here. Sat there with my face pressed against our old Sylvania the night of July 20th, 1969, to watch Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin walk on the surface of the moon. But unlike most of you of my generation, I also watched Pete Conrad and Alan Bean walk on the surface of the moon. I watched Alan Shepard and Ed Mitchell walk on the surface of the moon. I watched Dave Scott and Jim Irwin walk on the surface of the moon. I watched John Young and Charlie Duke walk on the surface of the moon. And I watched Gene Cernan and Jack Schmidt walk on the surface of the moon. And yes, that was in order because I still cared. And I've cared every bit since. Man in space is one of the adventures of my life and one of the inspiring things I've ever cared about. And I've had the unbelievable joy of welcoming some of these moonwalkers and astronauts to this show and done events with them. And oh my gosh. And a few days ago, we celebrated the 92nd birthday of Jim Lovell, a veteran of Gemini 7, Gemini 12, Apollo 8, the first people to go to the moon, didn't land, but they went to the moon. And of course, the ill-fated Apollo 13, where these guys almost died. Except they didn't. And bringing Apollo 13 home safely probably is more amazing than successfully making it to the moon. You know, as Neil Armstrong himself said, he felt like we had about a 50-50 chance of successfully making it to the moon. I think they had about a 20% chance of getting Apollo 13 home alive. Jim Lovell, Fred Hayes, Jack Swigert. But they did. And this was all 50 years ago this month. The launch was April 11. The Apollo 13 explosion. Houston, we have a problem. That was April 13th. I know. Cha-cha-cha. And Jim Lovell's nephew, a gentleman named Scott Nickel, is a friend of mine. And Jim and Marilyn Lovell live down in Central Texas. And they were going to do something. And it was going to be a room full of astronauts. And I was going to get to go. Now, again, it's not me whining because it ain't about me. Okay, it's a little bit about me, but here's what I mean. It's about me and my ability to witness this and give more gratitude, to show more gratitude to these magnificent heroes. I mean, pardon this, okay? I was going to say, how many more of these anniversaries is Jim Lovell going to be around for? And I hope it's 15 so he can live to be 117. But how many more 50th anniversaries will there be? That's it. This is it. Remember the 50th anniversary of landing on the moon? That was last July. 50th anniversary of Apollo 12 was last November. Nobody remember that? I did. Told you about it. 50th anniversary of Apollo 13 and the triumph of bringing them back alive is all about the middle of this coming month. And Scott told me they were going to do something out at his neck of the woods. I think he lives in like Jacksboro or maybe down in Horseshoe Bay or wherever Jim and Marilyn live. And folks were going to come in. We were going to be able to celebrate these triumphs. And I just told him if there's any way I can be a servant to that event or be of any way of service in any way, well, guess what? That ain't happening. You know. But rest assured, and we'll probably need as many distractions as we can at that time. That week, what are we looking at here? April 11th, the launch anniversary is it's 10 days from now, so that's Saturday. Well, here you go. April 13th is a Monday. On that show that day, couple of Mondays from now, because next Monday's April 6th. And don't worry, if we got huge coronavirus news, Lord knows I got to do that too, and I will, and anything else. But that day and maybe that week, I'll sprinkle some things out of a tribute. We're going to hop into the time tunnel and go back 50 years to one of the most amazing things. The list of amazing things that our space travels have given us. Human footprints on another world. Are you kidding? Leaving, you know, slipping the surly bonds of Earth to touch the face of God. I know that was the Challenger disaster speech from Reagan, but it's the most amazing thing humanity has ever done. And along those, and we have had some death. The Challenger explosion, the Columbia disintegration, the Apollo 1 fire in 1967. We have had some death. And doggone it, 50 years ago this month, we almost had three more, except we didn't. We brought them back. You know what? Between now and then, go read Lost Moon by Jim Lovell, the book that's about this, and the movie from which it was made, Tom Hanks as Jim Lovell, the great Bill Paxton is Fred Hayes, and only blank, Kevin Bacon is Jack Swigert. And they're all great. Everybody's great. The Apollo 13 movie. Oh, Tom Hanks and Rita are back in the U.S. They're doing well. So good for them. Anyway, though, watch the Apollo 13 movie. It's so awesome. And that's all 50 years ago this month. All righty. 9:26. Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer.
I used to play around with hearts.
On April Fool's Day, songs featuring the concept of the fool, Ricky Nelson. I'm walking around 1 year old, or crawling around 1 year old for Ricky Nelson, Poor Little Fool. All righty, let us walk or crawl, whatever it takes, to get into the newsroom. 9:32, Mark Davis. Here is Gordon Griffin.
Is it you looking outside, just banging on the front door?
You know, if we're going to do songs at April Fool, to contain the word, the concept of the fool, you got to go back to ZZ Top. DeGuayo, 1979.
I said that's all right.
Maybe one of the better Fool records ever.
I may not want to admit it. I'm just a fool for your stockings, I believe.
All right. Happy April Fool's Day. 866-660-5759.
Whew. And bring your girlfriend with you.
All righty. Awesome. All right. Well, time is starting to run short. Boy, at a time when around the house, if there's something I just don't get to on Tuesday, it just doesn't matter because that's why God made Wednesday. And I guess that's pretty true of the show. Let me get back to some calls, but I did want to do this. This will just take a second. And it starts with Jim Acosta, but it gets better because it's how the president handles it. That it essentially gives us a notion of how to balance very bad news, which we admittedly are, you know, neck deep in, with the optimism that he brings to his leadership.
Get back to your comments about what could have happened and the actions that you took.
Is there any fairness to the criticism that you may have lulled Americans into a false sense of security when you were saying things like it's going to go away?
Well, it is.
And that sort of thing. But
Jim, it's going away.
But when you were saying
it's going to go away, hopefully at the end of the month, and if not, it hopefully will be soon after that.
But hasn't your thinking on this evolved? You're taking it more seriously now.
I think from the beginning, my attitude was that we have to give this country. I know how bad it was. All you have to do is look at what was going on in China. It was devastation. And well, yeah, look at the numbers from China, those initial numbers coming out from China. But, you know, I read an article today which was very interesting. They say we wish President Trump would give more bad news. Give bad news. I'm not about bad news. I want to give people hope. I want to give people a feeling that we all have a chance. I mean, when you saw the numbers, and when John and all of you saw those numbers, and you're saying 120,000 people, you mean that's good? 100,000 dead people within a short period of time. I want to give people a feeling of hope. I could be very negative. I could say, wait a minute, those numbers are, this is going to be horrible. This is a horrible thing. Hey, Jim.
Last month and said, okay, let's go to the beach. Let's go to the airport. Let's go down to Mardi Gras.
Well, there were a lot of people. There were a lot of people that could have said that. We didn't say that. Fortunately, I didn't say that. And that was an alternative. We talked about it. That was always an alternative. That's what I said. Let it rip. Let it ride. Do nothing. And we could have had 2.2 million dead people, more than that.
So there is no reconciling that has to be done. There is no squaring with these two, the science people, the Dr. Fauci's, the Deborah Birx's, the people. It's not their job to paint a picture of optimism or pessimism, by the way. It's their job. That's why you have Dr. Fauci up there giving us this crazy range of just a few thousand dead. I mean, what do you got, four now? You know, a few thousand more and we're done? Or 250,000 people? Because that is the range of possibility, it seems. It's the president's job as leader, as a political figure, to say, look, Let's keep our noses to the grindstone. Let's keep these numbers lower. Let's pay attention to the data that these wonderful people around me are supplying. But let's also focus on doing what at some point we're going to have to do, and that is getting back to work, and back to some semblance of normalcy. We will not wait for this virus to go totally away where there's zero deaths before we resume our lives, because that may virtually never happen. We may have to just find some residual level at which we can get back to our normal lives. Where will that be? That will be the job of policymakers, not doctors. 866-660-5759. We are in Sanger. Lee, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Hey, Mark, real quick. Somebody earlier was talking about lack of communication for the high school teachers.
Uh-huh.
I happen to feel that the problem is, in my family, that the teachers are quietly turning our children into socialists, which means that they have to get them to depend more on government than on family. And that is quietly happening, and we're letting it because of our lethargy. We're not paying attention to these things. But somehow, ever since Obama, they've taken over the school system. They've taken over our children. Okay. They've taken over their sex education, yes, and everything else. So that's my concept.
And by the way, you're right about all of that. However, if the gentleman's point is that his kid's high school is sort of bringing the responsibility straight to him and not going through mom and dad for every assignment, everything, every detail, that I believe is far more likely a good thing. And that is, let's have the kids step up. And, you know, my own son is an example of this. Ethan has had to do all. I mean, going to school is hard enough. You know, and keeping up with all that is hard enough. And being at school at home is no day at the beach. and he's having to file things and do stuff online and feel this and do that and get back in touch with some teacher three or four times because he doesn't have the simplicity of just walking to the front of a classroom and saying, hey, you know, can you explain this to me? Sometimes you got to send, you know, two emails and four smoke signals and wait for stuff to come back. So he's doing exactly that, and it's an opportunity for all kinds of kids to grow up in a hurry in that regard. Now, in terms of the content of the education and the education industry seeking to mold our kids into little socialists, is that an issue? Yes, it is. But let's fight that fight on a broader battlefield, because what's going on right now is schools just trying to get through the year and students just trying to do the same. 866-660-5759. Let us... Marie Saavedra, wonderful reporter, Channel 8, and 4-5-8-11, all these local reporters, Andrea Lucia, Channel 11, all the folks at 5, all the folks at Fox 4. I mean, and by the way, in covering things and bringing these stories to you, now you watch the TV box these days, and a lot of people are, you know, like anchoring from their living rooms or their bedrooms, or you got a side table and a lamp over Chris Lawrence's shoulder as he's anchoring Channel 8. But a lot of these folks are having to get out in the world, the crazy infested world. And obviously they're observing all the social distancing they can. But I was talking to one camera guy who said, you know, I'm going out and covering stories, and I got a reporter 2 feet to my right. And so it was just real appreciation, not just for the stories they are bringing us, but for what it takes to bring us those stories. Last night, Marie Saavedra there at Channel 8 brought us a little thing from Plano.
On a normal day, you might not notice the hum of nature or the scheduled train that fades into the background sounds of downtown Plano. But these aren't normal days.
It's usually a problem down here to be able to find a parking spot.
Tina Ames owns Sweet Home Bath and Body, and she didn't wait for someone else to close her shop on account of coronavirus.
We hand make things, our bath and body, people hold it up to their noses. I just couldn't do it in good conscience to stay open, even though we were, we all were interpreted as, you know, essential.
Last week, Collin County says businesses could decide if they were essential. That changed today.
To maximize the number of lives that we can save, I'm issuing Executive Order GA-14.
This wasn't a shelter in place, but Governor Abbott put every Texas county on the same page, shutting down non-essential work and activities statewide through April 30th.
Now is not the time for us to let up in these distancing efforts.
As a result, Tuesday night, Collin County rescinded its order as the governor supersedes it. But we noticed many of those non-essential businesses in Plano already made the move to keep themselves and customers healthy.
I think our lives are more essential. So for me, it was like, okay, how can I keep running my business and not open my doors?
Ames is putting her store online to find the shoppers who used to fill these spots. But the quiet's set in, and now we'll stay for at least another month.
There you go. That's Marie Saavedra at Channel 8. And I think about all these businesses and all these places and where just life has... It's kind of funny. Life comes to a standstill. Business comes to a standstill. You know what doesn't come to a standstill? Bills. Rent. You know, and so just as we begin each day in prayer, and tomorrow morning we'll do the same, let's lift up in prayer everybody who is having a tough time with this, because we will all make it through together. And take your concerns to Him. Take your concerns to God. And we're hanging out together every day, and I hope that it is of value to you. Here is something of great value to you. You have heard us talk a lot about the wonderful movie No Safe Spaces. Dennis Prager, Adam Carolla, their wonderful collaboration that talks about the way in which free speech is just being dashed against the rocks and in various realms of life, higher education chief among them and some other places. And Hollywood blocked it. Netflix won't air it. But you can see No Safe Spaces right now for a limited time at nosafespaces.com. So fire up the device of your choice during this free time we all have and consume the number one political documentary of 2019. Our friend Dennis Prager is part of it, and Adam Carolla Carolla, who's always great, and so many great guests taking a look at it'll make you laugh, it'll make you cry, because it's done with the good humor you can expect from these folks. It had a 99% rating at Rotten Tomatoes, highest rating for like anything. And it's all about where America is and how free speech is under attack. So it's just a sobering reminder, no matter who you are, if you think or say anything that the radical left doesn't like, you might get shut down. They will try. It's our job to fight back. And No Safe Spaces is a film that puts you in the mood to fight back. And you can see it right now at NoSafeSpaces.com. NoSafeSpaces.com. Check that out. It'll brighten your day. NoSafeSpaces.com. All right, 9:50, Mark Davis, our final Fool record on April Fool's Day, next.
If I'd known how to reach you,
I knew I loved Carla Bonoff when I was just a teenager.
It's too late to care.
Because of all the records that Linda Ronstadt did of hers. So then I started consuming Carla Bonoff's own product. And right after I graduated from college, she released her second album called Restless Nights, containing so many masterpieces, including the traditional folk song The Water Is Wide, which I used, I sang as a lullaby to both my little spud kids when they were little spuds. But on April Fool, with songs with Fool in the title, the great Carla Bonoff, and Only a Fool to Take Us Out. Thanks to Matt Broom for filling in for Rhonda. She's back tomorrow. Shane Bell, Shane Bell Band. Speaking of tunes, they're cranking stuff out. And we'll hear about that soon. News ace, Gordon Griffin, top and bottom of each hour. God bless our country, our troops, our family. Stay healthy, be smart. God is in control. I'm Mark Davis. See you tomorrow at 7. Mike Gallagher is next. Be good.
Only a fool gives a high.